I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could tune in. Today's program features an audio version of our TBC newsletter, first published in 2008, entitled The Only True God, written by and read by the late founder of the Berean Call, Dave Hunt. And now, here's Dave.
As we all know, the so-called Lord's Prayer was never prayed by our Lord. It was a pattern for prayer. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and so forth, Matthew 6:9. To repeat these words over and over, instead of using them as a pattern for prayer from the heart, would be to disobey our Lord and to engage in what he strictly forbade, vain repetition, Matthew 6:7. Certainly, this prayer is only for those who know God as their Heavenly Father. It is a grievous error common to pseudo-Christianity to assume the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. The typical Unity Church service, for example, includes this affirmation repeated in unison, quote, "I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness," unquote. Such positive confessions have led multitudes astray. Paul declared that we become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. The fact that this relationship with God as one's father does not come by natural birth is clear. To those who boasted of being Abraham's children, Christ countered, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do," John 8:44. The rebellion of Adam and Eve, by which they became the followers of Satan as the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, made the devil the patriarch of mankind. That is why Christ told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3. This spiritual birth is an absolute requirement, allowing no exceptions. No one will be in heaven who has not been born again, both, quote, "of water and of the Spirit," unquote, verse 5. There is a common abuse of this prayer among American athletic teams. A high percentage of teams across America, especially in high school football, pray the Lord's Prayer either before or after games. Attitudes of participants vary from skepticism to suppressed ridicule to a shrugging acquiescence to something that might now and then bring good luck. This American tradition is an abomination to God. Phil Jackson, one of the most successful coaches in NBA history, turned from the Pentecostalism in which his co-pastor parents raised him to Zen Buddhism and the occultism of Lakota Indian spirituality. Yet he still repeats the Lord's Prayer and has for years encouraged his teams to do so without knowing God or Christ. This unbiblical practice has been one of Satan's major tools of deception. Confusion reigns over what it means to be born again. The teaching is rather common that Christ's words, "of water," refer to the protective amniotic water sac that breaks in natural birth, while "of the Spirit" refers to being born of the Spirit of God at the second birth. The latter is true, but the former is false. Everyone enters via the amniotic fluid into the human race. Born of water must mean more than that. It would be redundant to say that in order to be born again, one must have already been born once. Furthermore, that doctrine would place an unbiblical restriction upon entrance into heaven. Such a proposition would mean that there would be no salvation for anyone who had not experienced natural birth. Thus, no fetus that died by whatever means before coming to full-term delivery could be considered a real person, eligible for the second birth and heaven, thus allowing abortion at any stage. The biblical teaching of the new birth, becoming a born-again Christian, has caused much controversy. Roman Catholics, Presbyterians, Lutherans, and others believe this occurs at baptism. As previously noted, see TBC, August 2004, every Lutheran church follows Luther's small catechism. At baptism, usually as a baby, one receives a certificate stating, quote, "In baptism, full salvation has been given unto you. God has become your father, and you have become his child through this act," unquote. In fact, the Bible teaches that baptism, like the Lord's Prayer, is only for those who have believed the gospel. Baptism testifies to the faith by which one was born again. Otherwise, it is meaningless. Infant baptism defies Scripture, denies the gospel, and is a major net by which the God of this world gathers multitudes into his kingdom, providing them with false assurance that prevents them from seeing their need to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. How could a church defend baptizing an infant that cannot understand or believe? It was necessary to claim some efficacy, as the catechism say, quote, "in this act of baptism," unquote. This occult lie of spiritual power innate in and released by baptism, burning a candle or incense, doing rituals, priestly hand motions, voice tones, etc., has been for thousands of years the essence of ritual magic, witchcraft, paganism, etc., which anthropologists now call shamanism. This pernicious delusion is also known as sacramentalism, a heresy so vital to Roman Catholicism that it has its own Latin term, ex opere operato, i.e., in the act itself. To deny this doctrine concerning any official sacrament is to deny Roman Catholicism, for which the penalty is automatic excommunication, which is tantamount to being sentenced to hell. Here it is from the Canons and Decrees of the Council of Trent, 7th Session, 3rd day of March, 1547, Decree Concerning the Sacraments, Canons on the Sacraments in General, and this is still in full force. Canon 4, if anyone says that the sacraments of the New Law are not necessary for salvation, but that without them or without the desire of them, men obtain from God through faith alone the grace of justification, let him be anathema. Canon 8. If anyone says that by the sacraments of the new law grace is not conferred ex opere operato, but that faith alone in the divine promise is sufficient to obtain grace, let him be anathema. The grievous heresy of sacramentalism continues to seduce, in various forms, most reformed churches. R.C. Sproul, for example, justifies infant baptism as likening it to circumcision. Quote, "The scriptural case for baptizing believers' infants rests on the parallel between Old Testament circumcision and New Testament baptism as signs and seals of the covenant of grace. The Old Testament precedent requires it," unquote. That's from the Geneva Study Bible, page 38. The Ethiopian to whom Philip had just preached Christ from Isaiah 53, Acts 8, 29 through 35, asked, quote, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." End of quote. Acts 8, 36 and 37. Philip then baptized him, not by sprinkling or pouring water over him, but obviously by immersion, for, quote, they went down both into the water, unquote, verse 38. Baptism publicly declares one's faith, identifying the believer with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. One does not sprinkle dirt on a corpse. One buries it. If born of water does not refer to amniotic fluid or to baptism, what could it mean? The second birth is by the Spirit of God and by water. John 3:5, symbolic of the Word of God, as in, quote, the washing of water by the Word, unquote, Ephesians 5:26, and, quote, now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you, unquote, John 15:3. When we believe the gospel, we are regenerated and washed clean. Quote, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, unquote. Peter declares, being born again by the Word of God, which by the gospel is preached unto you, unquote. 1 Peter 1:23-25. Having been brought into the family of God, we address him as Father in prayer. In his high priestly prayer, the true Lord's prayer that Christ prayed, he declared, quote, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent, unquote, John 17:3. So the new birth involves knowing the only true God, not being, quote, born again, unquote, through baptism, especially as an infant. There are millions of so-called gods and numerous prayers for each of them in the various religions they represent. The Bible condemns everyone in unmistakable terms. Quote, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Fear before him all the earth. He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Unquote. Psalm 96:5-13. Such language is ridiculed by the new atheists, such as Richard Dawkins, who says the atheists must, quote, spread the good news. Evangelism, that is to convert the world to atheism, is a moral imperative, unquote. Although the Bible clearly distinguishes Christianity from all religions and separates their leaders, Buddha, Muhammad, et al., from Christ, who is unique, atheists make no such distinctions. Consequently, most of their arguments are irrelevant. The Bible denounces all religions as instruments of Satan to keep mankind in darkness, shut off from the light of the gospel by which alone one can be saved. For, quote, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Atheism is just one of the world's religions, and satanic blindness is reflected in its arguments against God and Christianity. A recent secular article about the new atheists was titled, quote, the Church of the Non-Believers, unquote. And it is a church to which everyone must belong if atheists get their way. In their religious fervor to destroy what they call, quote, religious faith, unquote, and to convert the entire world to their religion, they are blind to the true faith that motivates biblical Christians. Dawkins says, quote, faith is one of the world's great evils. It is belief that isn't based on evidence and the principal vice of any religion, unquote. Francis Collins, however, in charge of the Human Genome Project involving 2,300 scientists who turned from unbelief to faith in Christ, says that Dawkins' definition of faith, quote, certainly does not describe the faith of most serious believers of history, nor of most of those of my personal acquaintance, unquote. Many famous scientists, Nobel Prize winners, the greatest historians and legal experts have turned from atheism to faith in the resurrected Christ, not by mystical or emotional experience, but from verifiable evidence. The early pioneers in science, like Kepler, claimed that it was precisely their conviction that there was a creator that inspired their science to ever greater heights. Religion is not only wrong, it's evil, atheists fume, unaware that biblical Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Leading atheists harangue against religion, blind to the fact that the Bible is not about religion. In its more than 1,000 pages, the phrase religious faith is not found once. The word religion appears only 5 times, all in one verse, and the word religious twice in the next verse. All but one of these 7 references is critical of, quote, religion, unquote. Furthermore, in the few times that it mentions religion, the Bible never means what atheists foolishly denounce. In their war against God, Dawkins and his fellow crusaders dishonestly equate Christian, quote, fundamentalists, unquote, with murderous Muslims. In fact, atheists are themselves fundamentalists, seeking to impose their warped interpretation of the fundamentals of science on the world. Nor can the new atheist be ignorant of the fact that the fundamentals of Islam, according to the Quran, Hadith, the dogmas and example of Muhammad, and 1,300 years of history, teach that Islam must be forced upon the entire world by murdering all who refuse to submit to Allah. Christ taught and lived entirely otherwise. Yet the new atheists persist in equating Islam and Christianity simply because each is considered to be a, quote, faith, unquote. Such irresponsible accusations permeate their arguments. Yes, some who have called themselves Christians, Roman Catholic popes, Eastern Orthodox leaders, crusaders, numerous televangelists et al., have been guilty of all manner of evil. In the process, they have violated the teachings and example of Christ. But Muslim terrorists follow both Islamic teaching and the example of Muhammad and his successors, who tortured and slaughtered millions from France to China for 13 centuries. Today's terrorism is just a hint of what Islam would continue to do if it could. The fundamentals of true Christianity promote love, freedom of choice, and forgiveness, not hatred and violence. The latter are the trademark of fundamentalist Islam. To equate the fundamentals of Islam with those of Christianity is reprehensible. Atheists also perversely equate Christianity with the fanaticism and violence of the Crusades and Inquisition. Yet the Crusaders were not biblical Christians. They violated everything Christ taught and slaughtered his brethren, the Jews, everywhere they went. It is gross dishonesty to attribute the Crusaders' misconduct to biblical Christianity. From the days of Christ, multitudes of Christians have never given allegiance to Rome, but to the Bible and to Christ alone. They were martyred by the millions by the Church of Rome for centuries before the birth of Luther. From the 16th century Reformation onward, millions of Roman Catholics have embraced faith in the Bible and Christ alone, and were martyred by the hundreds of thousands by the popes and their armies. To fail to distinguish between martyrs and their murderers is unconscionable. The new atheists, led by Dawkins, call themselves, quote, the brights, unquote, and look upon theists as dimwits. Nobel laureate Steven Weinberg recently said, quote, the world needs to wake up from the long nightmare of religion. Anything we scientists can do to weaken the hold of religion should be done, and may, in fact, be our greatest contribution to civilization, unquote. Richard Dawkins says, quote, I am utterly fed up with the respect we've been brainwashed into bestowing on religion, unquote. Religion? As we've seen, atheists are tilting at windmills. In their fervor to convert the world to their religion, atheists betray their complete ignorance of biblical Christianity. The Bible is not a religious book and does not promote religion. Many Christians try to be scientific by adopting theistic evolution as compatible with Christianity. Their compromise does not impress atheists. Unashamedly, Dawkins declares that, quote, evolution must lead to atheism, and the atheist movement has a moral imperative to aggressively spread the good news, unquote. Dawkins declares, quote, should theists be free to impose their beliefs on their children? Is there something to be said for society stepping in, unquote? This is dangerous totalitarian talk that makes one fear for parents and children alike. James Perloff put it well, quote, but remember, the princess kissed the frog, and he turned into a handsome prince. We call that a fairy tale. Evolution says frogs turn into princes, and we call it science. Is that science? Or is it like the fraud of the Piltdown Man, the forgeries of Haeckel's embryos, the misrepresentations of Inherit the Wind, and the coercions of the Supreme Court merely part of a long effort to deny God? Atheists who end up in hell cannot blame the God they hate for excluding them from heaven. We need to rescue as many as we can from atheism's lies.
And now TBC Executive Director T.A. McMahon responds to questions from listeners and readers in this week's Q&A. Question. I've been struggling. Is God fact or fiction? I was taught liberalism in public high school, and that contributed a lot to these doubts. I had a good breakthrough with God last Wednesday, felt Him move in me and comfort me. But the feeling didn't last very long, though I knew it was real. My mother retold me her testimony of being saved out of the hippie movement and seeing the Shekinah glory. That gave me peace. Yes, God is real after all. I just wish I could see such a manifestation as my dad and so many others have. Then I thought, just because God is real, does that make Him right? The devil and demons are real, but wrong. So how can we be sure God is right? I want more than anything to prove these doubts wrong and regain my confidence, once so strong, and I know you are the right person to ask. I need God so badly, I want nothing else but Him for the rest of my life. But I have all these worries and doubts. I've prayed and prayed and thought doubts were conquered, but I guess not. Do you know what to do?
Many young people in evangelical homes and churches have similar doubts but hide them. First of all, don't look to feelings. They fade or change as you know. Experience is no better. All Israel experienced going through the Red Sea, the Shekinah glory day after day, the daily manna, water out of the rock. They audibly heard God declare the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai and promised to obey, yet rebelled. Walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Does that mean without proof? No. Otherwise, the Mormon, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, and so forth could walk by faith. No matter how ridiculous the belief, believers could say, I have faith. We could not reason with a JW, an atheist, or even a Satanist who also has faith. Feelings? Mormons have a burning in the bosom. Experiences? I have met people all over the world who've had the most amazing and seemingly miraculous experiences possible, but many were into the occult. For true faith, God has provided three powerful witnesses: creation, conscience, and the Bible. The sun has not been in the sky forever, or it would have burned out by now. The same is true for all other stars in the universe. So there was a time when the universe did not exist. Nothing existed because things, which are matter, wear out. Nor do we get something out of nothing. There is only one sensible possibility. Someone, without beginning or end, and with the power to create all from nothing, has always existed. This fact is beyond our comprehension, but we're driven to it by all we know. There's no other alternative. No atheist or liberal, no inner doubts can change these facts. Everything is made of energy, but energy, being a thing itself, is not eternal, but part of the material universe subject to the law of entropy and thus had a beginning. Nor could energy plan, design, and create the incredibly complex and intricately related parts of even a single cell, much less place on every cell in written language the DNA instruction manual that every cell, plant, animal, or human must follow and without which there is no life. No physical life exists without written words. Words convey information, and that can only come from intelligence. The information on DNA requires an infinite intelligence. The law of biogenesis says life comes only from life, as Pasteur proved. The so-called Big Bang, which didn't happen, would have sterilized everything a trillion times over. No life could have come out of that ball of fire. So our Creator, who always existed, must have been the source of all life. As I said, no atheist or liberal can change these facts. There are no sound arguments against the above. The very first verse in the Bible presents what all mankind is driven to, no matter how reluctantly. In the beginning, God created. There exists an eternal being who is our Creator. The first verses in John declare that Jesus Christ is the Creator and that in Him was life, John chapter 1, verse 4. And He is called the Word of God. On this basis alone, we would believe the rest of the Bible. But there is more. Conscience. Why are you worrying about whether God is right or wrong, good or evil? Because all humans made in God's image innately have these concepts. Morals and ethics didn't come from energy, which knows nothing of right and wrong, nor from a Big Bang, or from the molecules in your brain. Again, the Bible explains, the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts accusing or else excusing one another, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Mankind lives for self in violation of conscience, like a cancer cell no longer following the DNA. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Peter explains, "Being born again by the word of God, which by the gospel is preached unto you," 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. Unless the rebel believes the gospel and is reborn into harmony with the Word of God, he remains a cancer that must be cut out of God's universe. Finally, prophecy is the supreme way God proves His existence and the infallibility of His Word. Hundreds of prophecies foretell the entire history of Israel, many already fulfilled, the rest in process of fulfillment. No one can deny this. As for Christ, there are scores of specific prophecies foretelling His coming that prove His identity and that no one can refute. Put your faith in the One who has revealed Himself in creation, conscience, and His infallible Word, especially through prophecy, and no doubts can come.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Please visit our website, thebereancall.org, to access our radio archives going back to 1999 and our newsletter going back to 1986. We offer daily updates by email or visit us on Facebook or Twitter. Are you looking for information about a specific topic? go to thebereancall.org and click on Topics at the top of the page. Our online store is thebereancall.com. We offer a wide variety of books, tracks, CDs, and DVDs. Note that most of our ebooks are free. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you can tune in again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back.